Welcome. I hope everyone has had a pretty good week. It's been enjoyable, not too much stress. Some bookkeeping notes next. You don't have a handout today for two reasons. First of all, we're going to do two different texts. We're going to do a Matthew text and a Luke text. But also, we were getting a little bit tiny low on the toner. And since next week is going to be a bigger week and I'm going to use up much more paper and toner, I didn't run you all off copies, so you'll have to fake this one. The other one is there will be no Sunday school next week because during the Sunday school hour, we're going to have a time of fellowship and they're going to feed us. One is definitely not mutually exclusive of the other. So we will still be here at our regular normal time. We'll probably do a prayer and maybe a couple of songs, and then we'll sit around, eat, have fun, and wait for the pastor to keep us awake during the Easter Sunday services. Life is good. There's a sign-up sheet of stuff you can bring if you're so inclined out there in front. Also, this is my last Sunday with no Sunday school. That's two. With no Sunday school next week, it's a great time for Fred to go ahead, and he's going to start in on the book of Luke. So that's going to be a really, really, really fun time. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff, but that we'll let the pastor deal with that during announcements. So let's go ahead and we'll open with a word of prayer. Gracious and almighty Father, we give thanks for your being with us this morning. We thank you for the word of the scripture. We thank you for your being in our lives each and every day. Father, we ask that as we discuss anxiety and what goes on in the world today, that you settle our hearts and you give us peace. We thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the times we are allowed to see you working so well in our lives and in the lives of others. But Father, help us to always rely on your Spirit and on your Word to guide our lives, to make us the people that you have created us to be. Please bless our time this morning of discussion of Scripture and of fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, and as I said, we're going to start with Matthew 6, 25 to 34. In a roundabout way, because I keep asking Cheryl, okay, what do I do next week? And, you know, believe it or not, she kept bringing up stuff, and that works. I asked her that last week, and she looked at me and said, Romans 6 would be fun, but I just did Romans 6 at a Tuesday evening Bible study, and I said, yeah, it'd be really good, but not sure that's quite what I did. And I'm talking to her, and my head pops in when Jesus said, I bring you peace, not as peace is in the world. I said, that's great. Well, I'm looking up all the different stuff on that. I came across the Matthew reading on the cure for anxiety. Now, we have a lot of stuff going on in the world right now. I mean, no matter how you look at it, there is a lot of anxiety in our lives. And Jesus, in both Matthew 6, 25 to 34, and he says as he checks his cheat sheets, you know, I could give you the confession on why I don't memorize these things, but it goes all the way back to Luke 12, 22 to 34. And they both deal with the same subject. What's going on in your life that you really need to worry about? What is the important things in your lives? Now, we have so much in our world today. What's going on in politics? What's going on in our lives? What's going on in our schools, in our country, the differing opinions on state, how children are to be raised or not to be raised? It becomes myriad. And if we're not careful, it can consume us. And it can lead us away from exactly what we need to be concentrating on. And that's exactly why these two scripture verses come in. And they are both different causes leading in. One is the serving in Matthew. Jesus just talked about serving two different masters, and you can't do that. And, you know, he ends on 24. No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one, love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. So let me, before we actually go into the scriptures today, what are the anxieties that you have in your life right now, if you care to share them? I mean, I just a broad piecemeal, but I also cover the big stuff. It's not sickness in the family. Where is the next mortgage payment coming? Why isn't my car starting? Does my spouse love me? Do my kids love me? Am I being a good parent? See, these are all things that I know we're going to, that we hit, and sometimes we just take it for granted that this is part of our life, that's what it is, and we're going to have to live with it. But Jesus starts out that in the Matthew reading, there's a talk about the birds, the simplicity of the birds, and there's a beautiful illustration on the lilies of the field and how beautiful everything is. But what Jesus talks about here is what not to worry about. I have preached many, many times, and I've talked about it up here in our classes. You know, God will provide the things we need in our lives. We are allowed to worry about those things. But what is forbidden is the worry about things we cannot and do not have any control over. God provides food for birds, but they still have to search for it. Keep that thought in mind. And the basis of the disciples' confidence, in contrast to the anxiety of pagans, lies in recognizing God as our Heavenly Father. Now, we're going to talk about that as closed. But let's go ahead and we'll start with verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. It is not life more than food, and body more than clothing? So let me ask you that, and I want to start off with this question. What are the important things in your life as it sits right now? What do you worry about most? To be perfectly honest, I don't know if anxiety is the good one, but I expected to be gone by 52, let alone make it up into my late 60s. Yeah, it was a while ago, and it sneaks up on you, and I look at, I want to put this wrong, but I look at some of our more seasoned people, both with an, and no offense, it's not about you guys, but we have folks that we worried about that the quality of life is not good. And if you balance with what's going on in our world right now, I mean, God help you if you hit 69 and don't look like you're 23. I mean, it's time to start getting surgeries and spray your face, especially for poor women. Guys, we can be dumpy for the most part. Women, good Lord. And then you have that pressure, and what is that doing to our kids? But what are the other important things in your life that... Now, this is also coming from somebody that I really don't have a whole lot of anxieties other than, say, the direction of the country. And some of us, that will be it. Others, it is literally what's going on in our home. I thankfully don't have, you know, teenagers I'm trying to raise now, or with the exception of the kids here in church, I don't have to worry about that. That's a load off. I don't have to worry about house or car payments, even if I had one. So, you know, there's, you have this evening. But I was dealing with, I was on a chat group where one of the women had a child who was in school during a shooting. It was not the Tennessee. She was going absolutely ballistic, and she imagined every bad thing in the world that could happen. And she didn't know how to deal with it. And I'm talking almost time to take her to the hospital because she's having a nervous breakdown. Which is, yeah, I can, if something happened like that with my kid, I don't want to say an untrue statement. I'm not sure how badly I would have taken. Or more worried depending on where I live. I don't worry about too much stuff here in Rio Rancho. We have a great police department. We have good officers in Sandoval County. But then again, there's the worry about what's going to happen to your child in a place they're supposed to be safe. So in verse 25, don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. So basically what Jesus is saying is don't worry about where your next meal is coming from. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Are you going to have enough to drink? Is your life not more important than food? Is life not more than food and the body not more than clothing? Somebody want to talk to me about that particular comment? Is not life more than food? Do we live for what we're going to get to eat? And the body more than clothing? So I read through this and I'm going to make this statement. It says, does it really matter how well you're dressed? Coming from a guy that has 16 different vests. Guess what I spend my money on? My son has had friends and still has friends that it's more important to them that they be dressed correctly. They be dressed in the current style. It doesn't matter if they have no furniture or if they don't have a car. My hair's got to be perfect. I have to be dressed in a socially approved way. And Jesus is saying, is your life a little bit more than that? And here's where he starts comparing what's going on around. In 26, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And that's an absolutely great question. It's also going to lead into 27, where I really want to go. A couple of us here have talked about actually how much time we spend feeding the birds and watching them in our yards. And we have people here that raise flowers and beautiful, beautiful gardens and all this other good stuff. But if you notice, you're part of God providing for them. Now, the birds and the flowers spend their time basically eating and flying around, and if you're pigeons, making your life miserable. But God cares about them. They are his creation. He ensures they get fed, they get watered, both naturally and by people that are willing to spend lots of money on bird seed. But if God takes care of the meanest animal that we have around there, how much more important are we than them? Now, I say this under the premise of all the wildlife and the environmental stuff is all very, very, very important. But when God created the earth, what he created was for humankind. He gave us the water, he gave us the plants, he gave us the animals, and we get to chow down on each and every one of them. They are subservient. Subservient is not the right word, but we have dominion over the plants and the fish and everything else in the world. That puts us as special in his creation. But tacking all this stuff together, we can finally get to verse 27, is as we go through our lives and we accumulate things, it seems that our worries multiply. And I'll go back. What is the school system like in where we're living? What services are available for our more senior citizens? Are our roads good? Is our church good? And we can find ourselves caught in a situation where we start worrying about all those things. Is my kid going to the right school? And it goes up, and I'm still amazed it happens, but it's, if my kid doesn't get into the right preschool, never get into Harvard. Number one, that kid doesn't care, and neither do those pre-care students. It's just a status symbol. And two, I wouldn't send my kid to Harvard if somebody paid my full way, or Yale, or any of those other, or any of the other ones. But what is important, you stress over this. What classes are my kids going to? Does this school have STEM programs? And for kids going into high school, that's really, really important. Is it going, now it's changing, but how can I get my kid into college? We freak out over this. But Jesus then asked, who of you by being worried can handle a single hour to your life? And if nothing else, that is the question right here. We spend so much of our time worrying about what's going on around us, about some things we can control, some things we can't control, that it becomes consuming, and we spend all our time worrying about those particular instances. But he's absolutely right. How? Let me read this again. And who of you by being worried can handle a single hour to his life? Then we'll go back in. And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Everything we've talked, I've talked around up to here, comes into that. Why are you worried about clothing? Why are you worried about what's going to put on your... What do you need to be clothed? And if God makes beautiful plants, like you said, you know, the lilies of the field would put anything that Solomon ever wore to shame. And Solomon dressed pretty good. Of course, he was the king at the time and the rest of that. But to be perfectly honest, if you go, you all saw the peace lily they had over here a month and a half ago. Is that about right, Shelley? The peace lily? It showed up. That's all I have to say. But I'm a fanatic because I like the little white flowers. When that one died away, and it was sitting over there, and it was sitting in there, and now it's sitting in there. But if you go in and look at it, we have five new flowers coming out of it. And it's all because it was watered, it was cared for. I talk nice to it. And I find them absolutely, it's one of my favorite plants. I find them absolutely gorgeous. But God's doing all that stuff. He's providing everything you need to go for it to grow. What that has to do with my life other than making me happy because I like looking at it? Nothing. And if God makes plants like that, or you go out here and you look at the mountains and you look at it, for me, I love the high desert, probably because there aren't a lot of trees around it. It's beautiful. And God makes sure it's sustained. And if God is going to take the time to care for the birds and the bees again, isn't he going to take care of you? And then you of little faith is the kicker in there. That should be the hint of where we're supposed to be looking at when things bug us, when things get down, when life seems to spiral out of control. It's God that takes care of it. And God loves us immeasurably. And from the time of Adam until now and into the future, we have to remember that. God loves us immeasurably. It's never going to change. He loves all of us, the good and the bad, the saved and the unsaved. And if we concentrate, if we try to live our lives by what God wants us to do, everything falls back on the wayside. It's not the food on our table. It's not the clothes we wear. It's not the house we live in that's important. It's who gave all these things to us. And why are we going to worry about things that, no offense, God's going to take care of anyway? And that's amazing. You know, if you watch what's going on in California, and I'm talking the land, not the people. I read a great article this morning that they had this one lake that decades ago was drained so it can become farmland. Wonderful. They're having a little bit of trouble, though, because they've got so much snow and so much rain that the lake used to be where five different rivers dumped into the lake. And the trouble is, right now, with all the water and all the snowpack that's going to be melting, it's becoming a lake again. And the farmers that are there are really panicking, going, what are we going to do? I suggest move, but I don't own the land. Because it's going to be a lake again, and God is going to use that lake for something. I don't know what it is. I'd probably say to refresh the area, like water goes in. Why, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And here is the key. But first seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And I really like that because, yes, each day has more than enough trouble of his own. But God is going to take care of us. God is going to take care of us when we seek him and we learn to live our lives according to his word and his will rather than our own. Have you ever had instances in your life where you have wanted something, and you're going to do whatever it takes to do it, right, wrong, or indifferent? Because I have, and I think each one of us have done it. You know, this may not be the right way to get what I want, but I want it, and I'm going to get it anyway. Like a little kid that knows that the cookie jar has cookies, he's not allowed into it. I want that cookie. I'm going to figure out how to get up on the counter. We do the same thing. But the problem is once we've gotten what we have been chasing, and it may have been something we didn't necessarily need or were supposed to have, what was the outcome once you got it? Did you feel good about it? No. Did you at least look inside yourself and say, why was I willing to do that to get that promotion? Why was I willing to do that to get this tangible thing? And was it worth the consequences of my actions? Now, I'm not telling you that you do not need to go and work for things or anything else, and it's not bad to pursue things, because we are not supposed to sit around like just little lumps on the log waiting for God to do everything for us. But what we do need to do is take a look at how we live our lives, what our goals and lives were, and how can I get there in a correct manner. I think I've told this before, and please bear with me. When I left the Marine Corps, my goal, I was tired, quite frankly, of being poor. I wanted money. I wanted lots of it. I wanted to be filthy, stinking rich. Because I liked money. I liked what I was going to buy. I just never had any of it. Now, the problem is I looked at places where you could earn a lot of money. And I started to pursue that money. And the harder I pursued that money, the poorer I got. To the point where if it wasn't for our wonderful tax system at the time, I probably would have starved. I had my retirement pay, or my half of my retirement pay, and I had what this was supposed to be going in. And my life did one of these things until, okay, this is not what I want to do. I don't know. I'm stuck. I don't know where to go. I was not in church. I was not even close to a churchgoer. So one day, after writing out my last check for, I don't remember what it was, not having any more money for another 2 weeks, I said, you know, this isn't working. I'm chasing things. I still wanted money. So I went and got a temp job as a dispatcher, pulled up $210 a week as a dispatcher full-time. It got me by. Following that, though, I was dating Pam. We made a decision because both of our lives were nowhere near where we wanted to be. Rolling Road and Old King Mill Road. Red light. Honey, we need to find a church. And she goes, yeah. And a funny thing happened. Once we finally found the church, things immediately started. I stopped paying attention to chasing money, and I got really involved with church life. Started with choir because I like to sing. Moved on to other things, got involved with the church, with the different committees and everything else. And a strange thing, the further I moved away about worrying about getting all that money, the more I made. 3 weeks after taking the temp job, I was offered call center manager. Had that job for 4 months. At the end of that 4 months, they sold the company. And I'm figuring, ooh, well, I'll go find something else to do. Piddling around until they fired me because I wasn't going to quit because they were still paying me. As full-time, as a member of the company, no longer on the temp, they bought out my contract. They went ahead and said, hey, we need an environmental health and safety officer for the corporation. Would you like the job? And I'm going, okay. And when Dan sat me down and says, well, I want you to think about it, talk to your wife. And he says, and I asked, what am I going to get paid? And he said, $42,500. Ching! When you're making $1,000 a month, and it, if you're lucky, and it goes up, all of a sudden things are going. Again, I'm starting to work involved with the church heavily. Sunday school, worship services. And then all of a sudden, this fell into my lap, which would be fine with me again. I've done everything I wanted to do. I had enough money to live comfortably between my retirement and what the corporation was paying me, that life was really, really good. I stopped wanting for things. And then to add insult to injury, and I say that tongue-in-cheek, 5 months after that, they said, oh, by the way, we need a fleet manager in addition to what you're doing. Can you do this? We had five companies, and we had like 3,000 vehicles, and I was sat there and go, sure, why not? Didn't think of saying, what are you getting yourself into? I didn't bother asking for pay because, like I said, I'm fat, dumb, and happy. I went up to $75,000. So a year from the time I went back and said, you know, God, I can't do this. Will you help me? I gained from dejected poverty to making more money than I'd ever made in my life. And the only reason, it wasn't because I was such a great guy, it's because I asked God to take care of it. I could, from that time on, I literally stopped worrying about money. Because I came to find out, even when I went into ministry and I dropped way back down on the salary scale, I needed something. God always provided it. My family, my church, it goes on. And that's exactly what They're saying here in this reading, no matter what is going on in your life, God will take care of the things that are important. He will provide if you have that particular faith. And let it go. Kick loose from it. Okay, I'm going to stop running my gums now. Questions or comments on your, from y'all? Because next we get into the fun part in Luke. Because Luke is a lot of fun. Okay. Hey, we may make this. Now I have to find, I don't want Matthew 6. I want the other pages. Do-do-do-do. Luke 12, 22 to 34, and it's on material possessions, and the counterpiece is this part in Matthew that we have just gone over. But in this case, what has happened is it leads into where the young man comes up to Jesus and says, hey, my brother is giving me trouble over the inheritance, and I want you to tell him to share the money. Like, we haven't seen that a lot. And Jesus said, I'm not a rabbi. I'm not a part of the court. No. That is not my responsibility. And it comes up so in 20, God said to him, you fool, the very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And he said to the disciples, separate conversation, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. Then 25, I love it. And which of you by worrying can add a single hour to this life's span? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? It's all about material possessions, and that's where we step away from Matthew a little bit. Because the young man that brought all this up is trying to get money he doesn't necessarily work for. And Jesus, again, just like before, said, why are you worried about all this other stuff? What you're going to eat, the food you're going to put on your back, why are you worried about that? Worrying is not going to add an hour to your life. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. We've heard that. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And yes, that is verbatim from the Matthew reading. And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And I really want to concentrate on those last paragraphs, the last two verses there. And the only reason for that is this is everything we've talked about before. The nations of the world, and we're going to talk for our purposes, society, seek to worry about the things to eat, to drink, and the material possessions. I am not going to stand here and say there aren't Christians out there that are suffering from a lack of food, from a lack of clothes, from work, from a place to live. And I'm not about to say that doesn't exist, because it exists. But let me ask you, except for an occasional news story on television or where somebody is giving accolades to somebody else, how much do you hear about the poor people in our country? You hear about those poor mansions in California that are going to take an $8 million loss because they raise mansion taxes. You hear about all the silly things that we want to support this cause or that cause, trumpeted by people that are not suffering. These are the people that go, I'm well off enough, I can fill up my car, I can buy a Tesla, I can be environmentally correct, I can pay $8 for a carton of eggs, and it doesn't affect me, so I'm going to tell you how to live. You don't hear about the people that don't have the money to keep their electricity on, that don't have the money to feed themselves or their families. Well, we have wonderful social programs, which is another way of, we'll throw you money, be happy with what you get, and vote for me, but does not solve problem one. Nobody is willing to sit down and say, one of the reasons we have problems with school shootings and with gang shootings and everything else is because the people running these places have concentrated on their power. They have not spent the money to get good teachers and good schools into our inner cities, into our rural areas. We have not spent the money on the health. The biggest problem was not with COVID, was not COVID. It was the fact we have a really, really terrible health system. Unless you can afford to pay $300, $400, $500, $600 a month on health. That's why old people died. That's why the people with infirmities, because they couldn't get to a doctor. They can't do the health routine. And this is what society looks at. If you look great, if you can afford to go to the doctor and spend thousands of dollars to have your butt made three size because some idiot thinks it looks really cool, or breast implant surgery, or abs of steel, or the rest of that stuff, and yet people not a mile away don't know where the next meal is coming from. That's our society. And I'm not saying there aren't people, that there aren't churches or anything else that will address this, because they do. Churches do a wonderful job of feeding in the areas they can, but you still have the people that say, hey, you're doing it wrong. Back when I was in Virginia, they didn't have a problem with it. But some members of the legislature tried to pass a law that if you were a church and you fed the homeless or you fed people coming in, provided meals, if you did not have a professional kitchen in your church, you could not do it. Now, I don't know about you, but if we, you know how much it would cost to make that a professional? And we had a stove, we had ovens, we had a cooking area, and we had a refrigerator. And all of a sudden, we were being told, just because you're a church, you cannot, unless you went through all the health regulations that a restaurant went through, and unless you had professional stuff. Now, it did only take 2.5 weeks before we came up and said, number one, who died? Nobody died. Somebody who thought they knew better and didn't work with the poor, did not work with the abused, came out and said, you need to do this because somebody's going to die. There is nothing in here, in fact, there's nothing you'll find in scriptures that says you don't have to work. In fact, there is, and I think it's in Corinthians, forgive me, like I said, past problems, and I don't memorize too many things. And I read it in a sermon, and they're talking about the feeding of the wives and the orphans and the responsibility of the church. But there are a couple of verses in there saying, but if you have people that are able to work and don't work, you do not spend resources on them. Jesus has never said you don't have to work to support yourself. You don't have to do what is necessary. Because, and yes, I agree with you completely. Part of our problem today is you are given everything. People forget, and one of the heartbreaks I have with Harvard is, quite frankly, in the 90s, you paid your $100,000 in tuition, and you got an A. You didn't have to show up. And they came out and said, you get an A. That is the school policy. Everybody gets an A because we don't, you know, it's the equivalent of nobody winning or losing at a baseball game. Let me tell you, kids know if they're winning or losing. But, hey, everybody's got to be the same. Oh, I'm sorry. How much do you have that you worked your whole life for? And how hard did you work for what you get? And if you go back to the Garden of Eden also, he gave them jobs to do. That's how he came up with the name for platypuses. So the requirement to work is there. I wasn't going to go as far as saying, you know, people are late, but people are lazy out there. We actually, if you follow what's going on in the Microsoft and Chrome and all those other weirdos, that all of a sudden they had to start laying people off. Well, you know what? If I'm coming out of college and somebody's going to pay me $100,000 to go in to have breakfast that they're going to cook for me by catered, have lunch, get a massage, I may have a meeting in there, and have a little meditation room because I got stressed out because somebody didn't like what I said. Well, okay. But all of a sudden, the economy is contracting. We have a world of young people out there that have not been told you have to work for what you want. If you don't work hard, if you don't work steadily, and you don't work to pursue what you need to and actually put in the hours, you're in for a rude awakening. And it's happening throughout, especially in the social media and everything field. All of a sudden, all those guys that were so nice ain't nice anymore. They fired me. Why didn't they keep me? Well, what did you do? I love stories about, well, my boss did this and my boss did that. Okay, your responsibility to make that money for that company, or teach that child how to read or to write, how to do math, how to do critical thinking. And if you're not teaching those things, you're failing the children. You're not doing what you've been paid to do. And we have a lot of that going on. You have to respect me because of my political beliefs. You have to respect me because I'm a particular skin color or come from a different background. No, you don't. And yes, we're doing social justice here. You gain respect. I don't give respect to anybody. You better earn it. Just as I would have to earn your respect or the respect of the people I worked with. If I have a job, is it completed correctly? If I say I'm going to do something, did I do it? Did I earn the paycheck that was given to me, or was it I come to expect? Now, if you're wondering what goes on with why we took that particular rabbit trail, I'm going to go back to, do not be afraid, little flock, for if your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom, God chooses us. Now, he wants every single person on this world to come to believe to him. He also knows it's not going to happen. And the people he puts the time and effort into, and everybody has that particular aspect of their life under Christ. If you seek Christ, you will find him. If you find Christ, he has promised you certain things. Eternal salvation is the biggest, that eternal life. It's not going to be handed to you. It is hard work learning how to follow Christ. The amount of hours Justin puts into his two sermons is absolutely awesome. Been there, done that, and I know how hard it is. And then presenting it to the congregation in a way that we can understand it. Every good pastor I have met has been exactly the same way. And every good pastor I've met has also read a scripture and gone, am I living my life little secret, and sometimes you'll see the grin on his face, is he's not preaching to you folks, he's preaching to himself. But you have to go and search for Christ. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourself money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Believe it or not, there are two scopes to that. Sell things you don't need, take that profit, give it to a charity, a good charity. But also sell your possessions. Get rid of the material wealth that holds you back, the search for the material things, and give it to the charity. That charity is our Lord. What you give to the Lord will be returned to you. I used to love the guys in the airport. $5. Oh, God is going to repay you for giving me that $5. I was cynical enough to go, in my mind, maybe not, but here. Take it, you need it more than I do. Do we have too much? Want to out what you have. Are you seeking the wrong things? Or seeking things for the wrong reason? Give that to the Lord. Move those things out of your life. Make yourself money belts which do not work out, an unfailing treasure in heaven. That money belt, everything that we have, comes from God. Make yourself a new. Make your faith in Christ be what you rely on. You will be repaid with everything you need. Your life is not may not necessarily be any easier, but you can give up the anxiety when you know we will take care of you. Because when things come into your life that you can't handle, we have each other we can count on. We've got people who love us for who we are, our good and our bad, who will sacrifice time, effort, and possessions to help you out. That's living with God. That's what God does for us. And especially in this thing, he gave us the one thing we needed most. How many of us would sacrifice our son on the cross for everyone else? Someone who has lived a perfect life. God did. We don't merit it. You're already going to get another sermon today, so I'm going to stop here. But as for what bothers you in life, what weighs you down, let it go. Some things you can handle with prayer. Don't ever try to do it on your own. Other things, you know what? My son, God bless him, is old enough to know better, and he learned the hard way. My grandson is learning that lesson, but you know what? I'm not responsible for your life. I have not one iota of responsibility for your life, except to be there if you need me. You have to make the choices. You have to make the decisions in your life. And God will help you every step of the way. It may not always be what we want to hear. I'm still would love to get one of these great big lottery numbers, but A, you have to play the lottery first. And B, I'm not too sure I could handle that much money graciously. We would, however, have solar panels and air conditioning while we can still get air conditioning. I can pretty much guarantee you that. But, you know, we go on. I digress. When it comes down to it, take it to God and have faith that God is going to take care of you. And if I had said that at the beginning, we could be drinking coffee right now. I'm drinking coffee, but you know what? God is the most important person in our lives. Everything else he's given us is just icing on the cake or lemon icing on the donuts. Let's go ahead and we'll close with prayer. Gracious and almighty Father, we thank you for everything that you have given us. We thank you for what we have, for our families, our children, our homes. Father, we thank you for the people you bring into our lives. Help us to imbue within them the same love of the Lord that you have given us. Help us to be a light to all the people that are around us to see the treasures that are stored up for us in you. Thank you for protecting us, Father. When things get bad or things get confusing, for always being there so we can turn to you in love and in faith, knowing that you will do what is best for us. Father, we ask your blessings on our worship today. Bless our singing and our prayers. Bless our celebration of the Lord's Supper. Bless everything we have going on today, Father. This is your day. We love you, we seek you, and we want to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.